thank you for the prayer, Emika. Thank you for being here at this family discipleship conference between Lagos and Ibadan. And my name is Rich Smith. Again, I'm from Oklahoma City, a lay elder and a retired engineer. And we're going to talk first off about meeting the material needs of your wife. And that's a very important subject, as they all are. We don't understand as much as we should how important women need security to know that their needs are being met. So we're going to start again with our key passage in Ephesians 5. And our standard as husbands, again, boils down to as Christ...
Recording in progress.
Our standard in Ephesians 5 for the husband is as Christ loved the church. The husband is compared to Christ. Our wife is compared to the church. So the question we would ask, again, as in discipleship, so in marriage, it's all about Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? My whole life goes back to Him. Not what I think, what I imagine, or what I can imagine, or what my wife can imagine. But so we have to ask the question, first of all, how did Jesus meet the needs of the church? And so, first of all, one of the verses I use or think of is Deuteronomy 8. As I was working in my career, I was producing wealth for myself and my family, wealth to give, wealth to minister with. And God says in that passage that I might begin to think to myself, my strength and my power has produced this wealth. But instead, I should say, no, the Lord has given me the ability to produce wealth. Well, how has He done that? He's the one who gave me hands to work with, feet to go to work, a mind to learn and be able to think and have a marketable skill. So that's what God has given each one of us to do that, just as He gave Adam the garden to work in. God created work as a good thing before the fall, and one of the things that it does is it provides for our basic needs. Let me ask you, why do you go to work? You might say, well, I go to work to get money. Well, why do you want money? Well, I need money to buy food. Why do you need food? Well, I need food to have strength so I can go back to work. Why do you go to work? To earn money. Why do you need money? Or to have a house, to have shelter. So, God has set up things in such a way that we have the resources, but God wants us to work, whether it's from the field or to an office, to a hospital, to a classroom. We work because it gives us value and meaning, and it produces something that we need. Now, Christians have, that's what any non-Christian could say. I work to earn money. But God is very practical. It's not unspiritual to work or to earn money or to buy food or to provide shelter for our wives. We're commanded to take care of our wives as Christ takes care of the church. And God has given us even more than that, not just our physical body and the physical world we live in, but He's given us His Word, His Spirit, and a mind and a heart. So let me just state, these are legitimate needs. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 6 about these needs? He says, don't worry about your body, what you will wear, about your life, what you will eat or drink. God cares about those things. Well, he says, don't be anxious about them. So, in Matthew 6:25 and following, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Well, the life and body is about food and clothing, but it's more than that for the Christian. But we do need food and clothing to survive, and shelter. Those are still good, legitimate things that we cannot neglect for our family. It goes on to say how God the Father feeds the birds of the air, clothes the flowers of the field, and we are more value to Him than those things. Later it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So that is also something we're to seek. And God will help us to provide for these other things. So back to Ephesians, it says that husbands, love your wives in the same way you love your own bodies. So when I ask the question, why do you go to work? I go to work to earn money so I can eat. So you love your body enough to feed it. Is that right? What would happen if you didn't feed your body? Or clothe your body? Or shelter? Well, we would not survive. We would starve. So, yes, we as husbands, we love our own bodies enough to take care of it. Or we should. We should take care of our own bodies, but we should love our wives as much as we love our own bodies, and really even more. So the Ephesians is just stating a fact that in a normal, sane person, they're going to look out for their own needs. And it's true in a marriage that we should look out for the needs of our family, our wives and our children. It is a very natural and normal thing to do. And even many non-Christians have that value. They know they should do that. Even people who are not believers. So God gives us another value in Proverbs. It says that working hard is a Christian ethical value. Laziness is not. So that's why as Christian workers we do as much work as is needed to take care of us and provide for the needs of our family. We do it out of love. Not forcibly. And it says, so what am I doing? Am I meeting my needs for myself and neglecting the needs of my wife? So I look at how I dress for myself, if I'm to love them as I love myself, and I have nice clothes and I go to work, and I justify that saying, well, I need to go to work to earn money. Now, my wife had a job when we got married and had a career for 10 years, and she was used to dressing nicely. And when we had children, she retired from that job and took a full-time job as a homemaker, as a mother, which is equally demanding and more so in many ways. So if I begin to neglect her and not look out for her needs and her desires to still dress nicely, or do I let her dress in rags, that is not loving her as I love myself. There were times when I get to go out for lunch as part of my work. Nice places. And so I come home and my wife fixes me another nice meal at home. But do I think about the fact that she might like to go out for lunch sometime and dinner. And those are essential needs, but they're also ways of loving her to keep in mind what is she feeling like as she stays at home and voluntarily gave up that part of her life as a sacrifice for the home, then I should also consider her and sacrifice. So I would occasionally call her and say, instead of meeting one of my co-workers for lunch, I would call and say, I want to meet her for lunch. Or maybe we would meet at a park and have a picnic. And so I'm trying to look out for her needs. And it says that a husband in Ephesians cherishes his own body. We pamper our bodies as men. We don't like to go through pain or suffering. So I should feel the same way about my wife. And when we bought an automobile, I wanted her to have the most reliable car to get around. I did not want her worrying about breaking down or having a flat tire. So part of meeting her material needs and helping her feel more secure is bringing in enough money to pay for the food that she needs to buy, but also helping her not worry about being stranded on the highway with a baby or with a child or even herself, and not feeling like she can't go out and have my wife, I was very blessed. She is very prudent. She's a true Proverbs 31 woman in the sense that she looks out for the needs of her family first. So she is not going to go out and buy expensive clothes for herself and do these things. And I could say, well, I'm going to save some money. She doesn't need them. She doesn't want them. No, I need to look out for her even more so, and give her permission to buy clothes, to buy the food that we need, to take care of the home that we have, and as much as I would myself. And so that leads to some very practical issues as we talk about finances. Is do I budget for her to have food and clothing that is representative of her needs, and even beyond that, to give her extra things out of love and cherishing her and honoring her. So material needs is a very important thing to do. When we were single, we took care of ourselves. And it says in 1 Corinthians that a married man now must consider the needs of his wife. Okay, so it's, remember, we are one unit. I want her to look good. I want her to have the things that she desires. And again, they're not extravagant things. She would rather spend money on her children or on me. So we budget for clothing, and that budget is all under one number. So when we had two jobs, we still had one bank account. So her income came in to the same bank account that mine did, and so all the money that we expend comes out of the same bank account, and that bank account is an open book that we can look at and together or examine. And by having a budget, a budget is simply planned spending. It is not a, or shouldn't be a burden. It's meant to free me to where I can use money rather than always being short at the end of the month. But if I know what I have coming in, I can, I know what my fixed expenses are, the cost of my house per month, electricity, gas, water, and all those things, cell phone. But speaking of that, I was convicted at one point. Kathy was, I think, about 48 years old when I bought her a cell phone. I had had a cell phone from my company for several years, and I thought, well, she needs to have a cell phone. Now, back then, they weren't smartphones, but it was nice to have a mobile phone, again, in case she got in a position where she needed to call me or someone else for help and things like that. So as the technology grows, I make myself aware of, this is what I have for myself. What does Kathy have for her needs? In Proverbs it says that wisdom builds and furnishes a house. So as we seek to grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, I should open my eyes when I come home and look around. And I think one time I came home and the house was very warm, and because the air conditioner was off, and Kathy knew that I had, to save money, had signed up for a special program with the electric company, and what it ended up doing was automatically turning the temperature up in the house in the afternoons. And she was willingly, and not complaining about it, we were saving money, but I thought, that's really not fair to her, because I'm at the office in air conditioning until 6 o'clock. And so by 6 o'clock, the air conditioner comes back on. But in the hot of the afternoon, from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, she is suffering. So we eventually got off of that program. Even though it could save us a little bit of money, it wasn't worth it. The program is great if people aren't at home in the daytime, and they're both working. And many couples today, both husband and wife, work, and they have their own income, and sometimes they have their own bank account, and they buy their clothes out of their money, and it's my money, your money, his money. And we felt that it was better to have it in one pot, so to speak, and to manage it that way, including our savings accounts and budgeting for vacations. So I got to travel in my job again. Sometimes I would go away for typically a two-night, but it would be in a very nice place, perhaps a big city, a nice hotel. So I need to occasionally take her out to these nice places, and as a way to love and honor her. And so that comes to back to budget. Now, when we lost her income when she decided to stay home, obviously that affected our lifestyle. And there are two ways to manage our lifestyle. I could either work longer, get another job, or work two jobs, or have her work so that our income is higher. But there's another option, and that's to reduce our expenses. So we chose to buy used cars and keep them longer, but keep them running, and chose to live in different neighborhoods than many of our friends and peers who had professional degrees. But that was okay. That was something that we mutually agreed that we were willing to do for the sake of the family, and that we're going to talk about parenting later. But we believed that parenting was so important to be done in the home by the mother. mother and the father that we were willing to give up her income. And God has provided. We're not sure how sometimes, but we learn to live on one income. And we believe that was the best thing to do. It helped us meet the objectives of what we believe God has called us and commanded us to do. Now, it says in Proverbs in several places that a good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. And that houses and wealth are inherited from parents. So my parents did not have enough to leave an inheritance, but I wanted to leave an inheritance. So part of our savings and planning was to deliberately put aside long-term savings that, again, is an open book, and it's meant to take care of my wife in the event I were to die early or first. In the younger years, we bought life insurance so that since we were on one income, if I were to die, then she would have some money to live on for a while. And she kept her certification for teaching that she had in the event. So it was good that she had a skill, she had a career, she had a profession she could fall back onto. But I also wanted a financial safety net for her. One way is to do that is through life insurance. Another way is my company, and there are other financial instruments out there that are long-term savings plans, and all of that goes into a will. Now, my generation and many people, that's things that we put off and we put off and we put off until until it's too late. I received some wise counsel. Again, a lot of these things comes from learning from godly men and women that we were around, and said it's a very wise thing to have a will. Even though you're young and you don't think you have very much, you want to make sure that everything is joint heirs. Kathy and I are listed as joint owners of our vehicles, joint bank account. The will is written so that it protects her and my children, and no one else can come in and take that, at least not legally. So there are things like that that we can be wiser than the world and planning to give our wife that security that she needs, and plus it's the loving thing to do. That's basically it. It's the most loving thing to do for a Christian husband. In fact, 1 Timothy 5:8 says that if a Christian does not provide for his own household, he is worse than an unbeliever, an infidel. I don't know of any other verses that say someone is worse than an infidel, but that's the only one that comes to mind. But if we don't provide for our family, our immediate family, our wife, our children, and in some cases we must provide for our parents. But we have a certain order that we take things in. And just because another family member did not plan properly and they were not wise doesn't mean that they have the right to take what I had set aside for my family. Now, if I choose to help a brother or a sister in the family, that's up to me, but I cannot do that on my own. I do that together with my wife, and the same with her family. Kathy right now is taking care of her 90-year-old mother. Fortunately, she is financially solvent and able to be taken care of. But if she weren't, there are options. We could make other sacrifices to help along with other family members. But, the church was supposed to take care of widows who were widows indeed, widows who had no other family around to take care of them. So those are just a few thoughts about this material needs area. It comes back to love is not just a feeling, it's a choice. I make choices. So if I want my wife to be secure and her needs met, I can want her to have that, but I need to be doing something to help her feel secure and to be secure. Because the more secure she is, she will be a happier wife. So if I say, yes, I want a happy wife, I need to say, what am I doing that would makes her happy? Security makes her happy. So I want her to be secure. Many times, wives do not have a skill or a vocation to fall back on. And it's even more important for them to have something to protect them. I would hate to think that if something happened to me, Kathy would be put out into the become almost homeless. That would just be something I just would hate to think about. So 1 John 3:18 says, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The words are not just, love is not just words. I love you, do this for me. No, love is action. Over and over and over. And God, being the giving God He is, He gave His only begotten Son. He's constantly giving and giving and giving. He says in Acts 17, He gives us life and breath and everything else. So again, it goes back to who God is. And we're to be a giving husbands. Again, the other bottom line is, if I don't do this, who do I want to do this? If I'm going to be negligent and not provide security, and someone else is, I'm risking losing that love, because that person, that man, is loving her more than I am. And I certainly don't want to be embarrassed to that point, to think that someone else is meeting these needs that we talked about yesterday and today. So let me close in prayer and we'll move on. Thank you so much for listening. Lord, thank you for meeting our needs, for loving us so much that you give us life and health. You give us the ability to earn a living wage. Help us as husbands to love our wives so much that we want them to have everything to the same degree that we love ourselves, and to provide for them not only now, but in the future. That is, there's nothing wrong with planning for the future. And Proverbs says it's a wise thing to see danger coming and to plan for it. So we commit ourselves to you, and help us to make application in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.